Okay, thank you. What I'd like to talk about this morning is this is a follow-up study to a long-term evaluation that we did in Acala Cotton in California. It involved a lot of people. I won't go through all the names here that are shown or that are also in the program, but again, this was a follow-up to originally a Cotton Incorporated study that went on for 5 years, and then this is largely a report on a three-year follow-up study that was supported through the California Department of Food and Ag FREP program. Obviously, a lot of information, a lot of concerns about nitrogen prices in the last couple of years, and again, the basis for looking at this or reevaluating some of these type of things is impacts of nitrogen excess and deficit on plants and how they respond, preparation for defoliation, these type of things, but also with respect to cost of inputs and concerns for the fate of nitrogen if it's applied in excess. Some of the summary information from our prior five-year management study that we did on Acala cotton varieties in California across a lot of different sites in all the San Joaquin Valley cotton production counties, we came up with this type of recommendation here where we basically looked at soil residual nitrate levels in the upper 2 feet of the soil at the spring pre-plant or immediately after planting timing. And we came up with some ranges, recommendations, and considerations for what somebody might want to consider doing in terms of nitrogen fertilizer applications under these situations. Less than 55 pounds of N is nitrate N. The second range, 55 to 100. The third range, over 100 pounds of N identified in the upper 2 feet at that time of sampling. And part of what I'd like to talk about over on the right, the additional considerations is potential uses of plant mapping, petiole nitrate numbers and all, yield goal type of estimates, and how you might factor that in to give you a little better comfort level if you choose to reduce the amount of nitrogen that you apply. Our prior five-year experiments confirmed in California conditions with acalas that the cotton crop needed around 50 pounds or so of nitrogen per bale of lint from all sources applied, plus what's available out of the soil. We have a fair use of soil nitrate testing. Again, this is in semi-arid irrigated conditions in the west. We don't have a lot of rainfall, very unusual during the course of the cotton growing season. We do have some history of growers using and guideline information on petiole nitrate and some level of willingness to consider split nitrogen applications. One of the questions that came up when you start recommending that people back off on their nitrogen applications is what type of risks are there in reducing your nitrogen applications? Everybody likes the idea of reducing N applications in terms of cost and to some extent protection of groundwater contamination, these type of things, but is there a yield risk associated with it? What we did in this second phase then is we have three-year field trials in grower fields plus research center locations, a range of soil types. And what we did then was take initial spring, again, about planting time, soil nitrate evaluations in the upper 4 feet of the profile. In some locations, we also did it to 8 feet. The basic treatments that I'll go over in a minute were about 110 to 125 pounds and 150 to 180 pounds with adjustments made in each one of those treatments for the existing residual soil nitrate in the upper 2 feet of the profile. We also tested for phosphate and exchangeable K levels and made some adjustments if there were anything that appeared deficient. The experimental treatments then that I'll go through here are T1 at this 115 pounds N per acre rate, again adjusted with that 115 pounds adjusted to account for residual that's present. T2, the second, the 170 to 180 pound rate with that first application in those treatments made in May or early June. T3 and T4 differ from the first two treatments basically in that T3 has the T1 application amount, but it also has then a supplemental nitrogen as a side dress or water run depending on the location and year of about 55 pounds added, and that application was made with the second irrigation as a water run or a side dress, and again the timing of that would be very early bloom. We did, and similarly, T4 is the same as T2 as a treatment, but it has a supplemental application amount. T5 is no supplemental. And I won't go through all the details here, but just to show you a range of what kind of residual nitrate levels could be accounted for here, this is the first year of the 3-year studies going across 4 locations. You can see on the top we have everywhere from 41 to 113 pounds of N as nitrate N. And again, this is a range of rotations. We have a lot of vegetable crop rotations with cotton that changed the picture from what we might have had in the past with small grain rotations. And again, as you go up then through the different treatments, you have amounts such as the Kern one there, 69 pounds of residual N on the left. And as you go up, you go from 46 to 106 to 161 pounds of applied N, and again, compared to the T5 or no application treatment. Similarly, here's the year 2 list of treatments and amounts applied, and the year 3. Again, similarly, you can see, and there's some variation by year and locations on these in terms of the residual amount of nitrate, and I'll talk about that. Again, we did also account for, in some locations in California, you have to look at irrigation water nitrate amounts. These are the ranges in pounds of N per acre that we estimated is contributed from the irrigation water. Again, most of these not terribly high, but not necessarily always insignificant either. What I'd like to do is I'll just briefly touch on what type of yield responses. These are very similar to the kinds of patterns of yield responses we saw with increases in applied N in the prior 5-year set of trials. And again, many of them follow this pattern that you can see shown in the yellow there, where we have a reduction in yield with the 0 applied N, the T5 treatment. And then as you go up through the range of other treatment combinations, it flattens out at moderate to low nitrogen levels, again indicating that there is not necessarily a need for the supplemental N levels in many of the situations that we encounter in fields. And I'll give you an example here. This is 2 of the locations in the year 1 studies, treatment site A in blue and the treatment site B in green. And you can see, for instance, in site B, it's not a responsive site at all. You go across a range of treatments and there's no yield responses there. In this particular case, this is one that wasn't particularly responsive because of lower yield levels, less need for nitrogen, as well as some insect pressure. So again, these are part of what the growers are up against in the field. Again, here's year 2 responses across multiple locations. Again, a similar type of response, but generally we don't see yields peaking out at the 150, 200 pound rate, but at a somewhat lower number. Again, in year 3, again, we had what appeared to be fairly moderate soil nitrate levels in the upper 2 feet, but again, relatively flat responses. You might expect that when you get in down to the lower yield levels, 3 bales or less, but we get up into these higher yield levels that are approaching 3.5 bales or better. Again, relatively flat responses in some of these locations. Again, just looking at this, if you look just at the top 2 feet of the profile, one of the problems here is you can't always explain what the plant has access to. In site A here, fairly responsive to supplemental N applications, but again, the 0 N treatment surprisingly hung in there quite well, and again, a fairly unresponsive location at the one that's shown here as site B. Additional considerations, part of what we were trying to do is come up with some things that growers can look at to improve their confidence in reducing applied N, because it's always kind of a nerve-wracking thing to do that. One is timing of sampling. We've kind of settled in our semi-arid irrigated management conditions on nitrate sampling for a timing of right around planting timing. And then a couple other things to consider is rotations that you're in. We tend to have higher soil nitrate in the year that you're growing cotton when you're growing it in rotation with shallow-rooted vegetable crops, garlic, processing tomatoes, field corn, the first year out after alfalfa. Some of these simple kind of considerations can maybe increase your confidence that you're making the right type of decision. The next one that I'd like to mention is sampling the upper 2 feet of the soil enough. And I'd like to just show you some data here from a number of locations from our prior study. This just type of kind of shows you here the lower two, the red hatched and the yellow, is what you would estimate for soil nitrate N available if you just looked at the top 2 feet of the profile. It's really hard to talk anybody, including me, into doing hand sampling down to 4 feet, but look at the increase in nitrate that's potentially available when your crop roots to at least 4 feet, which many of our cotton fields have active roots in that zone. You get into some of these zones over here, over on the right at the Madera County location that's shown, there's 300 pounds of nitrate and just in the top 4 feet of the profile. Again, this is just a similar type of thing, looking at what you would estimate in blue as the total soil nitrate available in pounds of N, if you look at the 2 feet, the 3 feet level, or the 4 feet level. So again, I've been trying to encourage people to go deeper if they can stand it. Another thing is to look at having some knowledge about your field and how things look in terms of variability. We found quite a bit of variation as you go into some fields and variable soil types in where you do your sampling in the field, furrow versus bed, depending on what was grown there earlier, tailwater versus head end of the field. So again, composite type of sampling is something that can be extremely important in reducing that variability. Petiole nitrate, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I'd like to finish up with a couple comments on this, but again, kind of makes sense when you get into high yield level ranges and you start having near borderline nitrogen application amounts, well then you see fairly responsive. The blue line there is a low nitrogen treatment, and again you can see you get into mid bloom period and you can see fairly responsive changes in petiole nitrate as an indicator. You get into a low yield environment, in our circumstances 2-2.5 bale range, petiole is less sensitive as an indicator until you get really quite late in the season. One other thing, again, this is kind of a little bit complicated, but hopefully I'll explain it better in the paper, is we tried to use some minimal plant mapping data, bottom five fruiting branch retention, main stem node, top five fruiting retention I'm not showing here. And basically what we're trying to do here, I'm running out of time to give details, is we tried to give a point scale to indicate whether there would be how it would likely affect yield responses if you applied more N. So what I'm doing, say if you look just at the one example, that's time of measurement would be first position flower at the first fruiting branch over there on the left. If it's low, if it's less than 40% fruiting retention at that particular time period, then I'm saying that that's a -2, okay? And if you look on the bottom, I put down more negatives, which suggests there's less of a chance of a positive response to more N. You don't have a lot of fruit early on. You have a plant that's more likely to sort of take off vegetatively. And so again, we're trying to come up with a point scale to again increase your confidence in making a decision that you're gonna go ahead with reduced N. Okay, and then I'll just finish up with some a summary of petiole nitrate responses and kind of how the plants responded here. This is the first year. These are all set up the same way. If you look at treatment 3 versus treatment 1, if you remember, treatment 3 was the same as treatment 1, but it had a side dress supplemental nitrogen application. Treatment 2 was a higher initial application rate, about 170 pounds, and then again with the possibility of a supplemental nitrogen. Okay, so what this chart is showing is what's the petiole nitrate status of the treatment at from first to peak bloom, either deficient or borderline, adequate range, or what we call excess from some of our guidelines. Again, you can look here that when we get into the treatment 1 versus treatment 3 situation here, for deficient or borderline, we didn't see much of a yield response here. If you look at the treatment 4 versus treatment 2, we're more likely with these higher application amounts to be up here in the adequate or excess range. And in fact, we had very few indications or no indications that year of a favorable response. You look in the second and the third year, again, we had more locations that would be defined as deficient or borderline. And that kind of in terms of petiole data, in those cases, we had basically more responsive positive responses to supplemental applied nitrogen at that treatment 3 level. You get into the treatment 4 level, again, they classified as adequate. They were all non-significant in terms of yield responses to supplemental N. And so this kind of approach, I guess it gets a little bit complicated, but we're trying to, again, come up with a way to increase people's confidence in making decisions to reduce their nitrogen applications. So, again, appreciate your time.